Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast. Here we interview successful people who are living a life filled with adventure, excitement, and fun. Learn where they've been. Explore where they are going. See what gets them out of bed in the morning. Find out what drives them. We will go through their lowest points. We will look at the opportunities and possibilities that are now presenting to them. Come on a journey of ignition. I'm your host, Leanne Blaney. For more information, go to ignitepodcast.com. Let's ignite. Welcome, Igniters. Today's amazing guest is Dina Cooper. Dina is a change maker. She is passionate about raising our next generation to be happier humans and works with parents and teachers to make this possible. Dina shares such an amazing story of her path to change. Experience the awesomeness that is Dina Cooper. Hi, Dina. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Hi, Leanne. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. So excited to hear you share your story with all our listeners.
Oh, I'd love to share it.
All right, so shall we get into it?
Yep, far away.
Excellent. So do you want to tell us a little bit about where you are now and what's happening for you right now?
Yeah, so I'm in the throes of creating my space in the world, if you like. And I've come from a very corporate background, and it wasn't until 6 years ago that I went off on a complete tangent and decided to change my career. So I was a chartered accountant, and that's what my professional training was in. And about 6 years ago was when I started to really acknowledge that I had a thing for human behavior and human change. And through a series of events, I ended up becoming a coach. And so that has led me off in a very, very different path. So working, so instead of auditing books, I'm auditing people's minds. And I primarily work with parents and teachers right now. So really the primary carers, primary leaders of children, is where I'm focusing right now. So really, really different from where I was.
Yeah, big change for you from corporate to doing that.
Yeah, huge.
So you said about 7 years ago, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
What was the tipping point that made you think about or wanted, you thought, you know, you'd like to do the change or make change?
Well, it was... Well, actually, the change was probably seeded a while before that. So about 10 years ago, I was working in the banking sector, and I was working for St. George Bank when Gail Kelly was CEO. And at the time, Gail was really about, you know, find the right jobs for people. Don't make the people change to the jobs. And so they were very supportive, and they were, I was able to engage a coach through them to find out what I really wanted to do, because I knew I wanted to change. I just didn't know what to. I knew that even though I was thriving in accounting, you know, I had a very healthy six-figure salary, I was a manager, had a great team, I just didn't feel fulfilled each day. And I didn't, at that point in time, it really wasn't I didn't have children. It was really just a, you know, a feeling that I had that, or didn't have, I guess, you know, there wasn't that aliveness in me. I was just really pushing hard and achieving more, but didn't feel that level of fulfillment. So I did the coaching journey with this coach that was hired, and out popped the other end of that I'd be a great coach. And so I actually moved into human change, into a change management role within the bank. And then not long after that, a company external to the organisation offered me a coaching position. So I went to work for this external company, and I started off as an outplacement coach. So that's somebody that helps people who are made redundant, and helping them transition through that big change. And And then my mum got cancer very early on in that role, and I decided that I wanted to move back. I'm from the UK, so I wanted to move back to the UK to be with my mum. And it was a very fast-growing cancer, and we didn't know what was going to happen at that time. And fortunately, she's in remission, has been in remission now since then. But I ended up having my children in the UK. And when I went to, because I'd only just started relatively new in the change management field, I went back to London and felt like nobody was giving me a break in coaching. They didn't recognize that I had, you know, that I had an aptitude for it, because I didn't have any qualifications in it. And what I found was I kept getting shoveled back into accounting roles. And so I ended up going back to accounting for a little while. And then it was my father-in-law passing away in Australia that prompted us to move back, by which time we'd had two children in the UK. And when we moved back, they were just 6 months and 2 years old. So they were really young when we came back to Australia. But it's when I came back to Australia and, you know, there were a series of events that happened. And I just found myself one day sitting there, you know, and I was looking for an accounting I was thinking about going back to accounting, and in fact, I did take on an accounting role for a little while, but just felt really dead inside. Like, you know, just there was no drive in me, there was no passion for it. Sure, the money exchange was there for me turning up, but that was about as much fulfillment as I was getting. And so that really, that combined with sitting with my children one day and realizing we were just sitting at a blue IKEA table, you know, as you do at a mealtime. And I was realizing that I had really checked out of life. Like, I was not engaging with them. They were laughing. They were in banter. You know, I think they were roughly around about 2 and 4 now. And they were engaging in banter. And I was off somewhere else, and I didn't really feel like they were getting the best of me. I didn't feel like I was being the best of me. And that really, really prompted me to get to find something to help me, because I wasn't feeling the best I could be, I guess. And it was off the back of that that I then went to, I studied a coaching qualification, but I also then engaged a coach, and through going through a coaching program, it actually transformed my parenting, and I didn't anticipate that. It was meant to be a coaching program to get me started in my coaching career again, you know, it was meant to be career focused. But what actually changed dramatically was how I parented and who I showed up to be as a parent. And so that really led me into starting focusing my own coaching practice in parenting.
Yeah. So the parenting, was it more like the slow rumble leading up to that? You thinking, yeah, that's where I want to go? Or did you think one day it was like a lightning bolt that, yeah, that's where I belong?
Look, it was a bit of a lightning bolt, I think, because as a result of that program, that coaching program that I went through, figuring out that whatever's going on for my children, they're energetically, they're picking that up from me. And, you know, picking that up from us as parents and who we are with them is what they're getting. Whether, you know, they don't always hear the words that we say, but they always pick up on the energy that we give out. And because kids are really sensitive to that, it was recognizing that there were mind structures that I was playing out. Like, for example, worst case scenario thinking was one of my things. My mind would automatically go to what is the worst case scenario that's going to happen. And then I would go through a reaction, because I'd thought of the worst case and it felt like it was real. And I would then react to that worst case scenario. And that would then prompt a reaction. You know, for example, it could be my kids are, you know, in the playground climbing up the climbing frame, and I think, oh my God, they're going to fall. They're going to break their, you know, they're going to break their leg. You know, and I would be anxious, and they would pick up on that anxiety, and I noticed that they would start to, you know, be more. Fearful themselves, like, and I didn't realize that I could change the way that I thought, and that would change the way that those situations played out, where I could actually manage my own anxiety to the point where it's pretty much non-existent today. And you know, that would influence the way that I parented. It was transformational.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Sounds that way. Yeah. So since you've been doing your own business, what sort of challenges have you had along the way that might have made you want to throw in the towel?
Oh, so many. look, I'm really purpose-driven. I've been seeking fulfillment. It hasn't been about an exchange of money for me. It's been about finding something that is of meaning to me to do in my work. And that in and of itself is not an easy journey to take, because there's a force that drives you to, you know, seek and want something more for yourself. And usually there's some kind of contribution element. You want to change something. You want to make a difference in an area. And for me, that's thrown up all sorts of challenges whilst I've been figuring out, because when I initially went into coaching, it was about parenting, but I knew that wasn't the complete picture, and it never quite felt complete. So, and then it was only last year that my journey started to evolve into working with teachers in schools, and that's become more prominent now, you know, equally as prominent as the parenting. So, you know, I've been wondering about the connection of that. And I suppose some of the challenges are that, you know, when you leave something, the security of a job, one of the things that I realized was that I relied a lot on external validation. So when I was in a job working for a corporation, I would get my salary just for showing up. I would be able to, I would get rewards for my behavior. I would get rewards for and recognition for the activities that I completed or the projects that were successful. And that all came externally. When you start to work for yourself, all of a sudden that validation, that paycheck has to come from you valuing your own worth, you acknowledging your own skills rather than somebody else acknowledging them for you. And that's a whole journey in and of itself. So for me, the biggest challenge, I think, has been really owning the difference and the contribution that I'm making and the skills that I do have, and really valuing them enough to sell them and, you know, make a viable cash flow in my business.
Yeah.
So that's been huge, huge, and it's still ongoing.
So what keeps you putting that foot in front of each other? Like, is it that purpose, or is it something else, or just out of necessity?
It's not out of necessity, because I think I would have given up a long time ago because, you know, as freeing as it is, and as flexible as it is to be in my own business and be an entrepreneur and be able to create new products and be able to design my life and business around my own values and my own needs, there's lots of challenges in all of that. And the thing that really has kept me putting one foot in front of the other is knowing that, one, I'm making a difference, and two, that I'm not done, that there are more people that I can help, and my helping is bigger than me. So for me to not put my foot, one foot in front of the other, is that's just crazy talk, you know, like, you know, when there's more people that can be helped by the work that I do.
Yeah. I like that. So you said about a year ago you changed a little bit, and was that like an ignition point for you when things really started taking off?
Yeah, so that completely came randomly. Like, I've had I've been fortunate to have a lot of momentum in the parenting space. I've been in Practical Parenting and been in Marie Claire and a lot of the big names for in the parenting space, Essential Baby and all sorts of other things. And so I gained a lot of momentum in that space. And then it wasn't until I think it was August last year that I had a school invite me in, and they said, will you come in and talk to our teachers about resilience? And I thought, oh, okay, yeah, sure. Like, you know, it's kind of one of the core essence pieces of how I support parents, because resilience is one of those, we know that we need to be resilient. And we know what the core structure of resilience is. However, being able to embody resilience is a whole different ballgame. And there's often the mental, like there's, for me, there's three ingredients to resilience, and that's emotional resilience, mental resilience, and behavioral resilience. And we often see the emotional and behavioral resilience quite often in society. So that's like when we say, somebody's done something to us and I'm not going to worry about that. So we dismiss the feeling. So that could be classed as emotional resilience. And then we've got the behavioral resilience, and that could be that we, you know, we just carry on with our task that we're doing despite what's happened and despite what somebody said to us. So it's the, you know, we've taken behavior to be resilient. But often what happens is that the mental resilience is not in line. So what happens with the mental resilience is that, you know, we might have mind chatter that tells us, oh, well, you know, obviously I've done the wrong thing again, and, oh, I'm so stupid, and, you know, I can't believe I did that again. And we've got this mind chatter that's going on. So on the outside we're saying, oh, it doesn't bother us, we'll just move on. But we haven't really moved on because there's this mind chatter that's keeping us stuck. And that's really the biggest part of resilience, is addressing the mind chatter. And so that was the commonality. So that was the resilience piece that I was then able to take into the schools and support the teachers with.
So what's the most exciting thing you're looking forward to in the future?
Disrupting the education system would be good.
I like that.
Yeah, so I've got a big B in my bonnet, because I know that when I wasn't aware of how much power I had as a parent, that I was very fearful, I was very reliant on what teachers and educators and doctors and all of that would tell me what was best for my child, until I realized that I had the power and the empowerment within myself to work out what was going to be best for my child. And I've realized that you know, teachers are in the same position. So teachers have you know, I just coached a teacher yesterday, and you know, she has a really strong instinct to that she teaches a kindergarten class, and the kindergarten teachers, like, you know, when the child starts in kindergarten, she said, you know, all it's really about is them wanting to love to learn, like, you know, like feeling happy and loving to learn. And she said, I feel so overwhelmed by the pressure and the requirement of what is required, what these kids are expected to know by the end of the kindergarten year, that I feel like, you know, there's not much time to focus on their comfort and their happiness. And so, you know, that that told me that teachers are in the same position as parents, where they are stuck in a system. And if we don't empower ourselves, if we don't start to question and become aware of what we are capable of contributing to, what our kids are being subject to, and therefore having a voice in that, we will succumb to a system that no longer serves us. Yeah. That, the system was good. It was good a long time ago when it was first set up. It was fantastic because there wasn't that education available then. But today's education, we can access information on the internet at the click of a few buttons. So we're not actually wanting to deliver information now. It's more developing capability, developing, our thinking and our resilience and our empowerment to be able to be flexible, to be able to be creative, to be able to create our own paths and stand in our own firm beliefs that we are creating a path that is one that we can follow, and that requires a lot of internal belief in yourself. And for me, the system has to change dramatically in order for a child to have that instilled in them. Children, like, it's a parent and teachers working together against a system that has just been allowed to go on, but it's like steering the Titanic. And that's what it feels like for a lot of people, is how do we cut through and really get to the core of what needs to change? And so, I'd really like to be involved in that, how do we cut through? Because I believe I've got some answers for that.
Yeah, I can hear your passion for it.
Can you tell? You could have me talking about this all day.
And I could just listen all day. It's fantastic. It's fascinating.
Thank you.
All right, so we might have a change of pace and have a speed round.
Okay.
So what's your favourite book?
Favourite book, okay. The start of my journey of consciousness and empowering myself was A Celestine Prophecy by James Redfield. So I'd say that was a pretty game-changing book for me.
Cool.
Yeah.
And who's a mentor figure that helped you the most?
I've been very fortunate to have a mentor called Michelle Duval, and she is a game changer in the field of entrepreneurs. And I've been very fortunate that she's been my mentor for the past 5 years, and I've only just finished mentoring with her. So,
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
So do you have a daily ritual that works best for you?
I get up in the morning. I do a couple of rounds of yoga, salute to the sun, and then I meditate for about 30 minutes. So that's how I start, and then journal for about 5 minutes. So that's how I start my day every day.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Country or city?
Where I'd like to live.
Mm.
I'm probably a country girl at heart, but I know how to bring the country to the city. So I feel very congruent living in the city.
Mm. Got a favourite food?
I love lamb chop curry. Being an Indian, that's I love it.
Yeah, that's nice. What's the biggest piece of advice you can give others to help them make change?
I think if you feel something inside of your body that is telling you to listen, and that could be an illness, but hopefully it doesn't get that far, because that's a lot of people's wake-up calls, that you just listen to the unhappiness or a feeling that you are not congruent with, then investigate it. Ask yourself questions. Give yourself some quiet space and time, and actually question what that's all about. Stop and listen.
Mm. So last question. Mm. If you had a time machine, what would you go back and do differently or tell your former self?
Two parts. The first part is that I wouldn't change a thing, because I know that every part of my journey has led me to where I am right now, and I've learned from all of that. The second part is, if I could go back and change something. I would love to have gone back and studied psychology. I'd have my doctorate in psychology right now, and it'd be very congruent for the path that I'd be on. But wasn't meant to be that way. So I'm just going to prove myself in other ways.
Oh, and I'm sure you are. All right. Well, thanks so much for your valuable time today, Dina. Would you like to give us the best place we can contact you, and then we can leave it there?
Yeah, so you can pop along to raisinghappyhumans.com and you'll find me on there. Or you can find me on LinkedIn. So Dina Cooper, DinaCooper on LinkedIn.
Oh, excellent. I'm sure with your story that people will be following up.
Oh, I look forward to helping anyone I can. I'm really, really into people, supporting people who want to change. And actually a lot of my clients are change makers who might be parents, who might be teachers, but they really want to instigate some kind of change in their lives. And so, you know, really happy to offer advice and support on that.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Dina.
Pleasure. Thank you. Thanks so much, Leanne. Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, Igniters, I trust you got great value from Dina. I love that she wants to disrupt the current school system and empower our kids, parents and teachers to be resilient, creative and flexible, and to be able to create their own paths. Be passionate like Dina, I say. To contact Dina, see her website, raisinghappyhumans.com, or on LinkedIn, it's Dina Cooper. For more information on this podcast or myself, go to ignitepodcast.com.